had a great summer, and I hope your summer was, I guess you used to use the term, simply amazing. And, you know, every once in a while, something comes across our path, and we go, that's amazing. That's totally amazing. While I was away on holidays, we were on the island, I got an email, and it had on it a little link to a video, to an ad that I just thought was amazing. I thought I'd show it. You guys got it going? All right. I heard some of the expressions out there. I heard a no way. How many of you guys go, no way? That's not true. The iPhone 5 isn't having that. You know, it had me going for a little bit. I was thinking, man, my lousy old iPhone 4. Isn't it amazing how something comes along and you say, but you know, they aren't that advanced. Maybe they will be sometime. But that's pretty cool, I thought. You know, a lot of things come our way these days. And we go, is that just somebody making a, you know, you can do so much with, you know, graphics and animated designs and things like that. Is it true? And after a while, we get a little bit cynical, don't we? Like, come on, I need to really see it. If I touch it, if I feel it, if I really see it, then I might believe. Because there's so many things that are just rumors out there. And it's funny with Apple how there's, you know, it's just so protected. What's the next thing going to be? And you have these rumors that start about what it's going to look like and what it's going to be able to do. Well, you know, as amazing as technology is, back when John, the disciple, was writing the book of John and thinking through an account of what he wanted to kind of communicate to people about this person of Jesus that he had gotten to know for 3 years, he wanted to be accurate. He wanted to be precise. And he was. There had been others, there had been Matthew and there had been Mark and Luke that had written about Jesus. And John was saying, what do I want to communicate about Jesus? And really what he wanted to communicate was, there is this man. And we're going to kind of explore and discover that this over the next few weeks. Who said completely amazing things. Like it's got to astound you. You've got to stop for a moment and go, really? Is that true? If that's true, man, that changes everything. And he invited the readers of his gospel to believe. The gospel of John is talked about as the book of belief. And it's kind of like, will you really believe this? And if you really believe this, it's going to change things for you. And I'm excited about going down this journey over the next few weeks and kind of looking at the people that encountered Jesus. And I've got the subtitle up there. It says, When Life Encounters Jesus. There were different lives that came along and encountered Jesus. And we're going to look at John the Baptist. And we're going to look at Nicodemus. And we're going to look at the woman at the well. And we're going to look at all these different kind of people. The people at the banquet, at the wedding feast, who encountered Jesus. And how did it affect them? And almost in every case, they're like, this is amazing. This is incredible. And it changed them. Many of them their lives were absolutely changed. Well, John himself, his life was completely changed. And so the first part of John chapter 1, he kind of goes through, he actually says some things to shock us. And maybe some of us, and Suzanne and Peter talked about kind of growing up in church. After a while, we kind of go, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Or yeah, you know, I kind of seen that. I invite us during this time to stop for a moment on some of these statements and say, and just evaluate again. Is it true? Because I think when you really look at it again, you have to kind of go through that. And sometimes I can understand the questions of skeptics. You know, people who go, really about this Jesus person? And how did this thing work? I can understand that. Because when you really look at it, it does take some some faith, some belief to step out there. I've got another little video clip that just demonstrates the passage that we're going to go through right now about belief. Not reading it. No signal. So John starts off his whole story about Jesus with these words that you saw up on the screen. I'm going to read them for you. And his big deal is, I'm inviting you to believe this. And in the first two verses he says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God." Now some of that we might go, sounds a little confusing at first. What's the Word? And the amazing statement that John was trying to say here right from the start, and he intentionally wanted to shock his readers, is he said, this person Jesus that lived in our lifetime, he actually was the Word from eternity. Well, what is the Word? The actual Greek understanding of it, you might have heard the word before, it's logos. Logos was the Word. And what John was referring to is that 500 years or so before even John and Jesus lived, there were philosophers, and if you're familiar with, you know, ancient, you know, Greco-Roman culture, they had bright people, as bright as we have today. They didn't have all our technology and iPhones and all the rest of it, but they had people who were kind of going through, okay, this world that we look around us, where did it come from? And they would trace the rational structure of the universe, and they'd go back to this ordered principle. They'd say, you know, laws of physics, mathematics, reason, and even morality, they said, can be traced to this ordering principle. And as you know, there was all sorts of philosophers. There was a Greek noble in Ephesus named Heraclitus. And he says, this kind of outside divine source is the logos, the Word. So they're saying, apart from matter, in a galaxy far, far away. Well, no, not quite like that. But they were saying there's a source. There's a source to everything, and it's outside of what we see. And upon it, we kind of have these principles of meaning, and it's what gives meaning and kind of makes the universe actually work together. And what John was saying is, in the person of Jesus Christ, we saw the Word. We saw logos. We saw it among us. And he's saying that even before there was time and space and any kind of what we see, Jesus existed. He was eternal. He didn't have a start, and he has no end. So he was saying this shocking thing to people to really wake them up and say, you know what, I'm not just talking about a man. I'm not talking about just another good philosopher or a good teacher or anything like that. I'm actually talking about the eternal. I'm actually talking about God. And for the Jewish audience, they were going, okay, you mean what we've read about even in the book of Psalms? You know, when Moses wrote a book of Psalms, in chapter 90, he says, before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And in Hebrew, they had a word for that, everlasting, and it was olam, and it was like to hide. And another way of kind of saying those verses would be, from vanishing point in the past to vanishing point in the future, you have existed, O Lord. And John was saying, that God that we've been talking about, that's Jesus. Later on in verse 14, he says, the Word is Jesus. I think that is so cool. In some ways, that might be just kind of an abstract concept. On each of these points, these amazing statements, I've put an app going with the iPhone theme. I put an app on it and said, there's something that applies to our life out of this statement. And what I think is so cool about coming to this understanding that Jesus is actually the eternal source, he is the word, he is the logos, is out of that comes an incredible kind of sense of, for our lives, a sense of certainty and mystery. Now, I know that in a room like this, there's a group of us who love to kind of look at things and go, you know what? There's got to be something kind of mystical and different in there. There's the mystics among us. There's the people who like the kind of the adventure and the not quite knowing everything and just believing there's something kind of bigger out there. And then there's some of us that just kind of go, and we might be more a little bit more rational and reasoning. Just give me something that I can be certain about. And, you know, depending on our personality, we kind of approach things differently too. And I'm thinking about even vacations and how we go about vacations. Some of us like to have the certainty of knowing exactly where we're going to go. We've got a hotel booked. We know the road. We know the map there. Maybe we've mapped it out for, you know, weeks or months ahead of time. And then there's others who go, well, we're just going to throw the gear in the van and we'll start driving. Okay. How many of you are the first group that say, I like to have some certainty? Like, give me more certainty than mystery. Okay. How many of you like mystery? Like, just let's make this an adventure. Okay, yeah, you know what? That's about half the room. I'm more on the mystery end of things. I like to just kind of say, let's go and we'll figure it out as we go along. Like, give me some surprises along the way. Don't make it all so predictable that, you know, I know exactly what's going to go on. And I know even this summer as we were out in Calgary, we were in the Kananaskis country in the Rockies going mountain biking. I just love to just kind of try a trail and see where it goes. And as long as I know there's some streams somewhere that I can refill my water bottle up, you know, when I'm mountain biking. And maybe if I take along my phone, that if I really get into trouble, if I get to a top peak somewhere, I can phone out, right? You just need some certainty, right? Even the total mystics who go, you know, I just like adventure. You got to have some backup plan. You got to have some certain ways of kind of figuring it out if things don't go as you plan. Well, you know what? When we look at this adventure of life, what John is really saying in this relationship with Jesus is there are some things that I am so certain about. And he's saying, I know that we saw the glory of God, that we saw Jesus. And it changes everything because that's the starting point and the ending point. But the great thing about it is because he's internal, because he was from vanishing point past to vanishing point future, we actually have this incredible mystery to explore. It's not like it's all figured out. It's not like we're going to ever figure it all out in this life. Like, it leaves the adventure to this life. And you know, I think that's something that is so amazing to go through life with that sense of certainty and mystery. You know, because there are some people on one end of things and they might come across with some sort of religion and it'll be incredibly dogmatic and it'll say, this is it, okay? I know what it is. And it's this. And I don't believe John is saying that. He's saying, we know who God is, and it's Jesus. We know this part. But there's this incredible mystery of going there with him. And there are some people who say, I totally reject this, you know, the certainty end of things. I just want everything to be mystic. And there are some times in life when life tumbles us, turns us around, gets us turned around, even if we're out on the mountainside or whatever. We don't know which way is north, and we need some certainty. And John was saying, that person, he's actually a person, not just a life source or whatever, is Jesus. It's an amazing statement. And it actually changes everything for us when we go down that road. So that's one of the things he's saying. Go a few verses farther and it says, God created everything through him. That's Jesus. That's the logos, the word. And nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. You might have noticed there was two words that jumped out again and again in this passage, light and life. And John's point here, the amazing statement that he was making is, Jesus is the only source of light and life. He says he's the only source of it. Now that changes everything for us to as well. Now, understanding ancient philosophy, they understood that anything that's created can't be God. And if something was never created, then it must be God. Now, if you follow that, John's going along with that reasoning, and he's saying God created everything. He's outside of creation. And nothing was created through except through him. He's saying Jesus is actually with God. He is God. And that blew people away at the time. And it should kind of blow our minds as well to think about everything that's created. This vast universe, all these galaxies, was actually thought up in the mind of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. One essence, God together, before there was even time and space. And he's saying, out of that comes the source of everything that we have in life. And he says, if you want to know real life, light. And scientists, what I find fascinating right now is some of the discoveries in science right now through different kinds of telescopes, the Keck telescope. They're looking way back, and because of the speed of light and how long it takes to get here, they're looking like billions of years back, and they're seeing galaxies, they're seeing planets that they say that's the origination. And people who have denied any kind of intelligent design or somebody outside of it are now saying, okay, you got me. It's there. There was a time when light was created, when it came out of darkness, and darkness is actual real matter. And out of that light comes life. We know that. We look outside and we say, that's summertime, the sun, the life, it comes out of that. And John's saying, Jesus is the created, he spoke the universe into being, and he's referring back to Genesis 1 again, really, when he's saying this. And God made plants and animals, he's created the source of life, and out of that came all of the other life. And then he made humans, which are completely distinct from all of that, because in them is the image of God. And they had the chance to choose light or choose darkness, and they chose darkness. He's saying, and because of that comes sin and death, but here comes Jesus again, recreating, bringing life and light again. And he's saying, that's amazing. That happened in our lifetime. And the invitation from John is, will you believe that? Will you believe that? Because if you believe that, then ultimately, though there's lots of great enlightenment that we can take from people, and there's lots of things that will give us life in this life, he's saying, if you want to go to the source of all that, he says it's found in Jesus. It's like there's this person. It all comes back to that. And that was his point, even talking about John the Baptist. He says, John the Baptist wasn't the light. Like, people back then went, he's amazing. That's incredible what he speaks about. Moses wasn't. The prophets weren't. He's saying, they're only human. But if you want the source of light, you go to Jesus. And, you know, we've got scientific discoveries. We've got fantastic, brilliant people in the area of science. We've got politicians who show their genius sometimes for us there. We've got great teachers who kind of point us the way towards creativity and to life. But sometimes it can get so muddled it turns into darkness. But sometimes if they really are speaking truth, it does bring us back to the source of light. It brings us back to Jesus. And I think in all of our lives, when we look at things, sometimes we find ourselves kind of in the dark. What do I do next? The app on this one is, with Jesus, there's always fresh ideas. There's always new energy. Whatever it is that we might be facing in life, when it comes to maybe a relational challenge, maybe it comes to something in our work, maybe it comes to something that's going on in our families, we go, you know what, I'm in the dark about this. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I need a fresh idea. I need something new. There's a passage to that, and the Bible invites us. John says, through belief, if you believe in prayer, you can say, God, I need a fresh idea on this. And then when that idea comes, I'm going to need your energy. I'm going to need your life in order to go through with this. And the cool thing is that if we go back to the source, it's always the most pristine, the most best way. Some of you guys remember, many of you have seen the movie Cars. You seen the movie Cars? Many of you, that was a great movie, wasn't it? It was just fun. If you've got kids, you know the Pixar animation movie came out with this film called Cars. And it was a number of years ago, and it was really groundbreaking when it came out. It was like, you look at it and you go, they look so real, these talking cars, you know, they glisten. It looks like we're seeing photography, but it's actually all computer generated, right? And you go, that's amazing. And there was this interviewer, Michelle Morris, and she was asking the designer of that, John Lasseter, she's saying, with everything you can do with computer generated animation, are there still limitations? And Lasseter replied, absolutely. He says, the more organic something is in the way it looks or the way it moves, the harder it is to create it with a computer. I find that interesting, hey? The more it's like closer to the source, the harder it is to recreate it. And at the same time that she was asking him this in this interview, there was this kind of an exhibit that was going on at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. And in this garden, it wasn't animation, it wasn't computer animation, it was pure photography. And they'd taken pictures using microscopes and stuff of different kinds of organic matter. And there was this one that was described as a canvas in magenta red that has curling squares of what looked like skin or material. Another has brown furry hair sprouting on green and orange stripes. And on a third, lip-like shapes that float on a gray-white background. What was the subject of these photos? It was magnified close-ups of tree bark. It's like the closer you get, and this is what Dr. Lewis Foster says. He says, the closer one gets to something man has made, the more its imperfections are obvious. The more we magnify something God has created, the more we see its perfection. I think that's so cool. And it's the same way in our lives when it comes to ideas and to what we need in our lives. The more we get closer to this God of the Bible, to Jesus, his son, the more we know, okay, this is what it should look like. This is what I'm looking for. And then John goes on in the next passage. He says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. There's a word that jumps out in here, and it's again and again, John uses this word. He says, but to those who believed in him, he says, will you believe it? Just like that song that we talked about, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, and then it says, accepted him. And then he says, you become children of God. Now, there's a general sense in which God creates all of us, but he's saying, when you want a personal relationship with God, when you want to come into his family and be his child, he says, it comes through belief. And the amazing statement that he's saying is, if you believe, an amazing relationship will begin. You'll actually become a child of God. The app on that is complete acceptance. To gain acceptance into this incredible family with God, it comes through belief. And sometimes that seems too maybe simple, maybe too easy. But ultimately, you know, to come to that place that says, I admit that I don't have enough ideas on my own. I know that I need something apart from me. And I come to you, God, and I say, God, I believe in who you are, Jesus. And we enter into a relationship with him that changes everything. It's something we're really looking for. Because, you know, in this life, it seems that to gain acceptance into something, just about anything, it requires hoops to jump through. It requires doing something, right? Some of you might have gotten, maybe if you're a student, you got a summer job. To get accepted to be for that new job, you had to maybe write a resume, or you had to answer some good questions, or at least show up, right? To gain acceptance into the school that you're looking for, you know, requires something. I remember my brother and I happened to be working together up in northern BC when he had tried a few times to get into medical college and had been rejected. And then all of a sudden a letter came while we were up there and it said, you have been accepted into medical college. And I remember us kind of celebrating together. But he had to go through interviews. He had to do all this work. He had to gain the right marks. You know, there's so many things, whether it be in your work as well, to gain acceptance to that new position that you're looking for. You got to work for it. And sometimes relationships are like that too. If you want to gain acceptance into a certain group or be a part of this thing, there's certain things you got to do. And what John is saying here is, with this incredible, eternal God, the source of all light and life, gaining acceptance into his family is simply believing. It's not something we do. And he goes on in the gospel to talk about it. It's of everything about what Jesus did for us. He took our sin. He took our moral debt and he dealt with it. And we simply come to him and believe. And this amazing relationships happen. It's what we long for. We want to be unconditionally accepted. It doesn't matter who we are or how old we are. Any of you remember, and you've probably heard it at weddings, the first dance that fathers often do with a daughter, butterfly kisses, Bob Carlyle. Some of us are old enough to remember when that was played on at least country radio all the time. And that summer that it came out in 97, I happened to be doing construction that summer. And I remember it coming on the first time, and all of a sudden I'm listening to these words. You know, you have the radio going on while you're building away, and I'm framing in the basement. And all of a sudden this verse, it almost seems like the Bible. Butterfly kisses come on, and it says, there's two things I know for sure. She was sent from heaven, and she's daddy's little girl. And it goes on, butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. And it's describing this tender relationship between a father and daughter. And that week, my second daughter had been born. So I'm just like, oh, you know. I come up the stairs, and the guy I'm working with, he goes, oh, what happened to you? I go, oh, I don't know. Must have been the light, you know, the sun shining down or something like that. And but, you know, it's interesting. Bob Carlyle, the writer of that song, says, I get a lot of mail from young girls who try to get me to marry their moms. He says, that used to be a real chuckle because it's so cute. But then I realized they don't want a romance for mom. They want the father who is in that song. He says, that kills me. Isn't that true, though? All of us, no matter what, long for that kind of relationship. And what John is saying is, we get that with Father God through Jesus. That's the kind of acceptance that we can enjoy. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And he says, believe that, and it'll transform your life. Then the final thing is, and I'll read the last verses here, it says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds. He says, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Amazing statement is, Jesus came, he lived among us, and if we want to see what God is like, we look at the person of Jesus. We look at his life, we look at how he lived. And in him, we have this example. We have this person who showed, and there's a couple of words in there that go on again and again, unfailing love and faithfulness. Another translation says grace and truth. We get grace. We get acceptance. We get a love that doesn't ever end for us. And he says Jesus demonstrated that in his life to the point of actually giving up his life for us. And he's saying that continues for all of our lives forever. An unfailing love and faithfulness. Who of us isn't looking for that kind of relationship? And John says you can have that. You can be his child. You can enter into that world. And he's saying Jesus, when he came, he was all God and he was all man, and that's a complete mystery for us that is worth going down that adventure too, figuring that one out. But he took on human form and he lived his life. He showed us what it's about. And he says, you know, actually in John's day, people had more, they didn't struggle as much with Jesus being deity, being God, many people. They actually struggled with him actually being human. There had been this error that had started in that really, Jesus was just sort of a ghost. He was sort of mystical. He was just sort of... And John's saying, no, I know what he was about. He was actually flesh and blood. And as it says in the message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighbor. And he says, you need to know that. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes. touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. He's saying, you know what? He was there. He's among us. And because he's resurrected, he is still with us, his spirit. And the application for this, simply this, and I want to end with this, is relax. What John is inviting us to do in this relationship with him, as we come into contact with him going, he's simply amazing. It invites us to a place where we embrace our humanity and we say, I can't be that, but I can know this person and he will transform my life. And I can just relax and just sit back. And I want to invite us, even during these coming weeks, to kind of look at these stories again, to look at the person of Jesus and just sit back for a moment. There's time for action. There's time to kind of go, okay, I got to get on and do this, or you know, maybe God's calling me to do something, and faith and belief will change into action. But I think where it starts is just to stop for a moment and go, wow, that is amazing. You know, entertainers always invite us to come to whatever it might be, theater or movie or whatever, and hopefully, they're hopeful, you know, many times their goal is, would you just relax? We want you to relax and to come away amazed. And sometimes we have that sense of we just had this encounter. And I believe that when we stop and we, for a moment, just let our minds and our hearts go there and think about this God, Jesus, eternally existing, source of all light and life, the one who would come and live among us and be among us, we go, wow, that's amazing, God. You do that for me. You do that for humanity. It's amazing. And John says, stop for a moment, believe it again, and you will find your actions will flow out of that belief. I want to invite you to that adventure over the coming weeks. And maybe even this morning, you just want to say again to God, God, thanks. It might be just a prayer of thanks. It might be a prayer of, God, you know what? I'm needing your fresh energy or your fresh ideas for this week. God, I'm coming to you again, and I just need to know that you accept me again. I know I've messed up. I know I don't make it. I don't cut the grade, but you accept me. You actually just say, if you believe in me, you're forgiven, you're in relationship with me, I love you. That's an amazing thing. I'm going to close with prayer, and then we're going to sing a song together. God, I just want to thank you that we don't have to conjure up this thing. John was simply stating what he saw, what he touched, what he experienced. He encountered you. And I pray that this morning we would just encounter you again and in our hearts go, yeah, I believe. I believe. God, whatever you want to do out of that belief, you're going to change my heart. You're going to change my mind. And it's going to make a difference in my life. You're here, God, to give me acceptance. You're here, God, to give me what I need for this day, for this week, for fresh ideas, for your energy. And we just look to you, God, as the source of everything. We say we're going to come through you and to you again today, this week. In your name, amen. I want to invite you to stand together. We're going to close with a song in a moment. And then after that song, I want to invite you, if you don't have any other plans, to stay for lunch. We're going to have a great time together eating. I think I was smelling a little bit of that barbecue happening just outside this wall. There's a barbecue going on and some food for us. And it's a bit in a Western theme, sort of like our fences up here and stuff. But anyhow, I think we're going to be setting up tables right here in the gym. Unless it's gotten super sunny out there, I said we can eat outside. But otherwise, we'll just set up tables in here. But either way, you're going to go out that door right in that corner there, and then the food is being served on that side of this back wall, and you can come back in if it's going to be in here, or if it's going to be out there, you can just grab a seat. And I hope that maybe you're able to reconnect with old friends or make some new ones. That'd be great. And again, there's a few opportunities to enter into either the Alpha course or a few other things going on, lots of different ways to connect with people this week. I'd love to meet you too if you're new. Maybe I'll say a prayer for the food, and then we'll close with a song. God, thanks a lot for the food we're about to have. We just recognize again that every good thing comes from you, and you are so good to us. In your name, amen.